Hey there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited to make it a little bit shorter and a little bit sweeter. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. We all are facing a variety of challenges during this coronavirus health emergency. If you have the feeling that this has been going on for months and months, you are not alone. I think many people feel this way. Well, today on the program, we're seeking your thoughts about how you've dealt with some of these difficult issues. We're asking you to share your comments with the VPR community. If you found some effective ways to cope with these difficult situations. And with me today, as he has been for the past few Fridays, is VPR's Morning Edition host, Mitch Wortley. Hey, Mitch, great to have you back.
It's great to be back, Bob. Thank you. And I hear what you're saying. It feels, you said, like the last few Fridays, it feels like we've been doing this for 100 Fridays, because it does feel like this has gone on for a long time.
It really, you know, I had the sense that it's been 2 or 3 months, you know, and I think, like a lot of people, I think, when we hit the 1 month mark last weekend, I was thinking, well, you know, somehow we've all made it through that first month. But now the governor is talking about keeping the stay at home order in place until May 15th. You know, we're only halfway there. And yeah. It was a little difficult to comprehend. But then to, you know, what choice do we have? We really have to accept it. Mitch, let's just start with social distancing.
Yeah.
You know, how has this worked out for you?
Well, you know, it's been a mixed bag. I'm in this weird situation where I'm still coming to work every day, but it doesn't feel like the normal work routine for me. I'm in a very different studio. It's completely isolated. I'm the only one who's allowed in this particular studio. We've got a skeleton crew in the building. You're there in Montpelier, Bob, in the hotel, I know, and that's like you've called it a ghost hotel. So there's that part of it. But the other part of it has been what you were just talking about with connecting with friends and family. And I have to be completely honest up front here. I am not enamored of the Zoom FaceTime technology like a lot of people are. A lot of people just flocked straight to that. My daughter loves it. She's using it with her friends. They're connecting. I just find it a little uncomfortable. I find myself looking at myself in the corner of the picture there and, you know, not quite liking what I'm seeing. And then, you know, I'm turning more to the traditional phone. I have picked up the phone more often. I've called my mom more often. I'm trying to call my dad more often. I'm trying to just reconnect with that traditional way of just calling up and saying hi. And actually, I've kind of liked it.
You know, I've been using FaceTime with my grandchildren, which has been great. And my youngest grandchild will be 2 next week.
Oh,
and I'm sort of wondering what's going through her mind when she, you know, opens up an iPad and then all of a sudden Poppy is there. And I try to convince her to pass me things like French fries through the screen. So she'll actually take the French fry and put it right up to the camera, and then I'll grab it on my end and very quickly eat it. And I'm just wondering what goes through her mind. So to be in contact with grandchildren, FaceTime, I think, has just been amazing.
And does the technology bother you at all, Bob? I mean, I'm so curious about this because it feels new to me. And you have to, you know, I have to use it. We use it here at VPR for news meetings, and Zoom is it's a wonderful technology when it works. I just find it a little disquieting in some way that I can't really put my finger on, I guess.
I guess when I'm FaceTiming with the 2-year-old, you know, I'm making all sorts of faces. And so I'm trying to see how she's reacting to me being really goofy. So that part, I think I still enjoy. You know, yeah. What I wonder, Mitch, is when this crisis is over, do you think people will be reluctant to shake hands or give hugs when they meet?
I think that's a really good question, and I've been hearing people talking about that. You know, is the handshake going to go the way of the dinosaur? I don't know. I really feel like right now people are finding so many clever ways to connect. One of my favorite things about living in Vermont, quite frankly, is that little – when you drive past someone, and this is going way back before any of this crisis started, that little 2-finger off the steering wheel, sort of that nod, if you will. It's a very Vermont thing that I've picked up since I've been living here for, you know, well more than a decade now. And just a way of just indicating to somebody like, hey, you know, I see you. And it's like a little peace sign with your fingers, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see more of that. My sort of gut feeling is that, yeah, the handshake is not going to be used nearly as often because what's going to happen, I'm sure it's inevitable, as Commissioner Levine was saying, we're going to see some reemergence of this. It's sort of inevitable. This is a novel virus. It's new. It's different. I think it's going to recur, and I think that is going to be in the back of people's minds, and they are going to be a little more reluctant to do the handshake, which its own origins are fascinating if you go back to why the handshake ever even started in the first place.
Are you going to tell us that story?
Oh, my gosh. I kind of thought you were going to pick up on that one. As I understand it, and callers I'm sure will correct me if I'm wrong, way, way, way back in the day, you were supposed to take your hand and put it out to show that you were not carrying any weapons to a stranger.
Oh.
So you would go and say, see, I don't have a sword. I don't have a gun or a club or anything in my hand. I am putting my hand out. You may now show me your hand. We will then connect hands. We will shake. That is my understanding of how the handshake came to be.
Oh, that's great. I learn something every day, Mitch.
Well, I hope I'm right. I'm sure, again, as I say, our callers are super smart. They'll correct me if I'm wrong.
Mitch, we've got a lot of listeners who would like to let us know what's on their mind today. So let's start with James, who's calling from Bradford. Hey, James, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hello?
Yep, you're on.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Yeah.
And how
can't hear you.
Oh, you can't hear us, James? Maybe turn your radio down. Is your radio on in the background very loud?
Turn that off.
Okay, yeah.
I turned the radio off.
That's better now, right?
A little bit.
Okay, and what's on your mind, James? How you doing?
Oh, surviving this crazy baloney. It's been a long road. I've pretty much been in isolation since August, so it's nothing new to me. I've had 5 surgeries since August 6th.
Oh, wow. So you've gotten used to sort of being on your own and having to coalesce at home, that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my appendix blew up last August, and I had 3 infection surgeries after that. And then I just had an incisional hernia surgery March 19th.
James, do you have friends and family to check on you, make sure you're doing okay?
I got friends. All my family's in Connecticut.
And how do you keep in touch with them these days?
I just text with my mother and call her every few days.
Oh, I'm sure she appreciates that very much. And thank you for the call, James. And certainly hope that you still feel good and get better. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Let's turn to Lynette in Greensboro Bend.
Hi.
Hi, Lynette. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Mitch, I would like to agree with you that Zoom is weird.
Oh, Lynette, I'm so glad it's not just me. Thank you.
No. I've had, so far, we started with a 2-hour cross-country family reunion where nobody could hear me or see me. My son had to call from Seattle to tell me what to do. And I've had a doctor's appointment on Zoom. And I've had a historic society meeting on Zoom. And it's just weird. It is. But the thing I wanted to share with everybody is that our very own hometown circus, Circus Schmirkus, is having a Zoom get together this tomorrow night, I guess.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Saturday. Not that I have any idea what day it is usually.
Yeah, nobody does anymore.
So I just got a hold of my son and his wife and invited the kids, you know, just to let them know that it was happening. And they're going to send me a Zoom thing, and we're going to watch it together.
That is so cool.
I don't know how that will work, whether we'll be seeing each other or a TV screen, I don't know. But I just thought anybody with kids or kids at heart might want to tune in. I guess if they go to the Circus Schmirkus website, they will find out exactly what's up.
Yeah.
And
so I was going to ask about that. Is that the best way to contact with them? Because Circus Schmirkus, I mean, they are an absolute Vermont institution. They're so wonderful.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I want my granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter is 7, and I just want her to see this and go, oh, can I go up to grandma's and go to camp? that's my ulterior motive. So, yeah, I just wanted to pass that on. Zoom is definitely weird.
Lynette, thank you so much for that call. I really appreciate that. And, if you can see Circus Smirkus via Zoom, that's great. I'm sure you'll get more comfortable with that technology, and hopefully I will too.
And, you know, Mitch, a lot of artists are turning to this idea of having virtual concerts that people can dial in on and take part in. So I think the arts community is really trying to stay afloat and stay connected with folks across Vermont using many of the same technologies.
Yeah, I think that's true. And in fact, I talked about that I'm a little uncomfortable with Zoom. Well, coming up in a week or so, I'm going to be hosting a Zoom forum with some poets, some local Vermont poets, because they have really struggled with new book launches and, live readings that were canceled. So they have found a way now through GreenMountainsReview.com to get these new readings on the air. And in a week's time, we'll be talking about that in the coming week. But I'm really looking forward to that. So I don't want to make it sound like I'm against Zoom or anything or any of these other video conferencing things. They are so necessary right now, and they are helping a lot of people out.
Let's talk to Joe, who's calling from Burlington. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the program.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to share that what my wife and I have been doing, we've just sort of been leaning into being okay with enjoying the evenings and just sort of letting ourselves regenerate in those times. I think there's a lot of conversations around being really productive or learning a new skill right now and, sort of capitalizing on this time. And we're just taking slow evenings, cooking, drinking some wine, and then watching a show and just being okay with that. I think we all need some of that time to regenerate and just being okay with that space.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Joe, that sounds really great. Do you mind if I ask if you have any kids, or is it just you and your wife, in this situation?
Yeah, it's just the two of us, and that sort of goes into what you led into this episode with two people in the house all day.
Right.
And we've been doing very well, actually. We both sort of congratulated one another yesterday, in fact, that we've done pretty well with it. And I think part of it is just sort of being okay with the fact that this is different. There's a lot of emphasis on let's try to make it normal, and we've sort of just leaned into accepting that it's not and being okay with that.
Well, that sounds great. And I will tell you that as, somebody who does have one child at home, one of the things that you're not having to deal with, and I think this is probably good, is you and your wife probably are not fighting about what to watch as much as it is when you have that third wheel of the kid there in the mix. Because I was surprised, my wife and I thought, oh, you know what? My daughter will love watching the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Everybody loves that movie, right? She hated it. We couldn't believe it. I mean, and we felt like terrible parents. Why did we make our daughter watch this movie? I thought everybody loved Ferris Bueller. But, when you get a kid in there, the mix is different. It's a lot harder to decide what to all watch as a family.
Yeah. No, that's great to kind of know that we're lucky to.
I'm glad it's working out for you guys. I really am.
Hey, it's great to hear from you, Joe. Thanks very much. Yeah. Let's talk to Jordan calling from Waitsfield. Hi, Jordan. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Great. I was just calling in with my perspective as a brand new parent during this time. My husband and I welcomed our first child, a son, a few weeks ago. And,
congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, it's really exciting. And, part of the backstory, the irony here was he was born 6 weeks early. And that was its own experience in itself and was pretty scary. We weren't able to go to our home hospital here in Vermont and had to travel down to Dartmouth. And, but I think, seeing what things are, how circumstances are now with the hospitals and the medical care system and some of the protocols in place for visitors, I think we're really, glad, there's a silver lining to him coming before a lot of the COVID-19 crisis had hit Vermont in full force. So we're really, actually lucky and grateful for, how things worked out, that we're able to be home safe and in isolation as things have ramped up and gotten a little scarier. you know, now that we're home, we're facing a lot of the same challenges, I think, that we would be otherwise and that a lot of other families are facing, with some nuances, you know, things like baby wipes and, you know, a chest freezer for breast milk and things like that have been very tricky to come by, just things that you would need anyway as you know, as parents with a newborn. So that's been extra challenging. Plus, we've been isolated from friends and family and a lot of people who I know would want to be here helping us change diapers and bringing us food and groceries and things like that. So we're maintaining our sanity and bonding as a family. And you know, my marriage is definitely, you know, we're learning more about each other and, you know, in the circumstances, but it's, we'll certainly have some interesting stories to tell our son when he's a little bit older about the time that he chose to come into
the world. Bet you will. Yeah. And Jordan, the baby is doing well?
Yes, he's fantastic, and he doesn't know it, and anything, you know, beyond the norm is happening. So we're happy for that.
Jordan, I appreciate this phone call so much. And I think mostly just to hear your calm, even keeled voice, because you know, you're going through a lot, but everything that you just described, you make it sound like you've come to some kind of acceptance of what this situation is. And as Bob was just alluding to, you're going to have an incredible story to tell your son. It is your son, right, who was just born?
Yes.
When he's older.
Yes.
It's amazing. I'm so glad that you seem to be dealing really well with this.
Well, it's great,
Jordan,
to have such an excuse for joy in the midst of a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and Jordan, we've heard some parts of the state are running really low on diapers. Has that been a problem for you?
Well, we've, you know, whether this is some folks who call this a same choice or not, we've chosen to try out reusables. So as long as we have a running washer and dryer, we're pretty set.
That's great. Jordan, thanks very much for sharing your story with us. Let's talk to Barb in Huntington. Hi, Barb. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the program. I have an interesting issue that we do Zoom, a family Zoom now, which is great. It's connected me with family from all over the country. And one of my nieces in the Midwest, who's a corporate, works in the corporate level with an international firm, or maybe national firm, whatever. And she is saying that they're very concerned in the corporate world that when things lift, that women are not going to return to work.
Why?
Because they like staying at home with their kids.
Huh.
Isn't that an interesting concept? But it's a very real concern amongst women in the corporate world who are concerned about the ladder, the corporate ladder.
Yeah. That is sort of fascinating. I mean, you know, at first there's the presumption that it would only be women who would stay home. And then there's
right.
This question about, you know, they want to work. They're going to be wanting to, you know, advance in whatever business they're in. That is an interesting concern, Barb. And what has your daughter been saying about that? What are her particular concerns herself?
Well, it's my niece. And
your niece, sorry.
That's okay. And she's just concerned that, you know, she's had to fight hard to be in the corporate world, and she doesn't want that pipeline to be disrupted.
Yeah. Wow, that's an interesting one. I'm sure you have some very interesting Zoom phone calls, I would think, among your family there. Everybody is weighing in on that opinion. What are folks telling your niece?
Well, that we were all just kind of dumbfounded because we just hadn't really thought about that. But she said it's a very real issue for her world because she really does want women to be in the workforce and in the corporate ladder.
Hmm. Very interesting indeed. Yeah.
Barb, thanks very much for your phone call. Today on the program, we're soliciting ideas and comments from our listeners about dealing with some of the difficulties we're all facing during this coronavirus crisis. Let's talk to John in Burlington. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks. I wanted to follow up on the handshake issue. First off, people shake hands with their right hand because the population is dominant right-handed, and that's where a weapon would be held.
Huh.
But in addition, the British drive on the left-hand side of the road for pretty much the same reason. Back in the old days, when they had horsemen, they would be going down a narrow road, they would pass each other, and they wanted to keep their right hand on the same side as a potential adversary.
Wow. That is fascinating.
So they started driving on the left-hand side of the road. Now, up until about 1911 in the United States, vehicles had the wheel, steering wheel, either in the center or over to the right-hand side like the British cars are today. The reason was is that the roads were so bad that when you passed another car, you're more interested in the side of the road where the ditch is and where you might go in than you are with the other part of the road.
Hey, John, let me ask you real quick. This is all I love this kind of history, and this stuff is fascinating to me. I'm curious about your own feeling on the handshake. Do you think when, you know, all this eventually dies down that the handshake may go the way of the dinosaur? We may not be doing that anymore. And you personally, do you like shaking hands? Is it something that you'd be willing to give up?
For several years now, I've done just a fist bump for what I would tell people. I don't want to share germs. But I've, of course, gone beyond that, and now I do a foot tap.
You're ahead of the curve, John. Let me tell you, you knew this was coming. You were ahead of the curve. That's amazing.
John, thanks very much for sharing your information with us. Let's talk to Rob, who's calling from Lincoln. Hey, Rob, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Bob. Hi, Mitch. I just wanted to put a little plug in for a community program that we have starting in Lincoln as of today. It's a two-way postcard program. We have a little red box down at our general store, and inside the red box are pre-stamped and pre-addressed postcards, and we've identified folks here in Lincoln who might be feeling a little extra isolated and lonely during this time, specifically those in sort of the elder community. And so we're hoping that local youth next week, spring break, stop by the general store, grab one of these two-way postcards. They fill out one side. It's already pre-stamped. They can put it in the mail because it's pre-addressed, and hopefully that recipient then would respond to the youth that sends them the postcard. So it's no cost to anyone, just takes a little time. And we're hoping to sort of launch this within the greater Mount Abe School District moving forward. New Haven's got a similar program. And, hey, we'd love to see it statewide. It's just, in a sense, we're trying to connect our community one text message at a time.
So wow, Rob,
just wanted to put a plug in for that.
That is a lovely gesture. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to pour any rain on that parade or anything. I am curious, though, about, you're talking about physical postcards, right, that are pre-stamped?
We are.
Are there any concerns about, you know, contamination with that? They, you know, things that have to be handled, everything has to be wiped down now and all that sort of thing. I mean, is there any thought going into that part of it?
We've thought about it for sure. And I think, you know, looking at CDC guidelines, maybe leaving stuff outside for 2 to 3 days, I believe, is sort of the recommended time. We've thought about that. But at the same time, you know, when you talk about all the digital ways that people are connecting, there's a lot of folks in our community that either don't have access to it, don't understand that way of connecting with others. And sometimes good old snail mail, you know, hopefully the worst case scenario won't happen. And the best case scenario is someone gets a postcard in the mail that maybe puts a little smile on their face and connects them to a youth in their community.
Yeah, to be clear, 100%, I think that is a lovely gesture. And I agree with you. I think there are people that would get such a lift out of getting a postcard from someone like that. So I wish you the best of luck with that there in Lincoln, Rob. I really do.
Yeah, Rob, that's just a great idea.
Thanks for the program.
Thank you for the call.
Oh, you're welcome. Mitch, I've mentioned this in a previous program, but I was very fortunate that I live in Montpelier, and someone in my neighborhood took it upon themselves to generate an email list of every homeowner and every renter who lives in our neighborhood. And took a couple of days to put the whole thing together, but then finally a list could go out, and it was a way for people to say, hey, I really need this, or I have some extra that. And it was just it is a wonderful way for people to communicate. Someone might say, I'm going to the grocery store. Is there someone who's having trouble getting out? Is there anything you'd like me to pick up for you? Just a really neat community spirit. And I really thank that person for putting together an email list for probably 60 or 70 people in the neighborhood.
I think that's fantastic. Yeah. Great community spirit is being shown. I think that people are resourceful, especially here in Vermont, and they come up with ways of connecting. And this is a real challenge. This is a lot different. As we've said before, you know, it's not like with after Irene, where people were trying to get to each other physically. Now we really can't. So there are new ways we have to come up with things. Yeah.
Mitch, I've got to ask you something about sports in every program.
Of course,
think that's
Bob.
An obligation that I have because you have such a wonderful sports report on Vermont Public Radio. There's this idea out there among in Major League Baseball that a short season should be started using facilities, the spring training facilities in Florida and Arizona, but there might not be any fans.
What do you think of that? Yeah, I've heard all about it, Bob, and I love baseball. I want it back so badly. I don't want it back that way. I just don't. They're playing games live in Taiwan right now. There are live actual baseball games going on in Taiwan with nobody in the stadium. And I saw a video of this the other day. Somebody hit a walk-off home run, and it was the most depressing walk-off home run you've ever seen ever. It's just not worth it at this point. I understand the money. I understand that they want to get these games going. My feeling is if you can't play baseball the right way, and think about it, Bob, you know the game. Part of the appeal of baseball is having the unique ballparks, Fenway Park, Yankee Stadium, Wrigley Field. You can't just take these places in Arizona and Florida and call it baseball and say that that's a legitimate thing. Anybody that wins the World Series under those circumstances, there's going to be a huge asterisk next to it. It's just not worth it. Let it go next
to
next
year. Yeah, it got me thinking, Mitch, if they did went to these televised games with no fans in the stands, would they resort to something that was used 50 years ago? Now, I grew up in New York City, and when the New York Giants and the Brooklyn Dodgers moved to California, I was heartbroken.
Many people were.
That first year that the Giants were in San Francisco, they had a play-by-play person in New York who had a drumstick and a piece of wood.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You know this.
Oh,
and
yes.
And a little machine to have the crowd go, yay, you know, up and down is what was happening. And all that person had from the teletype was ball one.
That's no other
information. So that person had to say, well, so-and-so is scratching his head. Here comes the delivery. Ooh, that was high and inside. He almost hit him. You know, and have the crowd go, ooh,
right.
You know. I mean, I've wondered if Major League Baseball goes back to having a game without fans, if they're going to try to have some electronic fans in the stands. I don't know.
You know, I don't mind if they do something like that as a quirky way of doing a simulated game. I just don't want this to be, you know, make us think that this is any kind of an official season with those kind of games
right.
going on. I think you just have to call it a loss at this point and look ahead till next year.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Bill, who is calling from Dummerston. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen. Let's see. Fenway Park, notwithstanding, my coping mechanism has been to get a cookbook. And I just got it in the mail a few days ago. It's 53 recipes for oatmeal with an added 10 more bonus recipes if you add water. Who knew? But that's how I'm calling. Finally, a little humor. All right, I'll be here all week. I just wanted to give a shout out to Phil Scott. That's the purpose of my call. I'm a little left of Bernie, as all of my friends, and I will tell you that Phil Scott, I think, from my perspective, is doing an amazing job. I'm going to try to hold back the tears, but I respect that he's putting we as Vermonters ahead of all else and all others. And with what's going on in D.C., I respect that. I respect that he's his own man. And if you could get this message to him, tell him for the next election cycle, he's got my vote, and to keep up the good work. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you for the call, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Let's talk to Ricky in Hyde Park. Hi, Ricky. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling. One, I want to ditto the last person's phone call, the section on Phil Scott. That was absolutely fabulous and so true. It's hard to imagine what a governor has to go through in every state to deal with this. Hmm. So anyway, the thing that there are lots of things that my husband and I are doing to cope in with the COVID virus. And one of the things that I'm doing is that we have had a woman's breakfast group, and it was originally started out as all working women who had to go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. So every Tuesday morning for the last 30, maybe even longer, 30 years anyway, we've been meeting to have breakfast before we go to work or go wherever we're going to go. And it has been fabulous. We've met all different kinds. We've just connected with all different kinds of organizations in the community over the years, and we did not want to give up our breakfast time. So we decided that we were going to be a Zoom group. And so we've been Zooming every Tuesday, and we've been really, really enjoying it. And one of the women works at the local health agency, and she got a doctor to Zoom in with us. And the doctor answered all our questions, and it was just a great connection to have with the community. And over the years, it's been absolutely fabulous.
And all this was over breakfast. You did all this?
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. I love it. I'm glad you're coping well with that.
Yeah, no, you kind of have to. I mean, you just have to go with the flow. That's the way life is.
Yeah, you got that right.
But anyway, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for calling in.
Ricky, thanks very much for calling in. Let's turn to Maria in Benson. Hi, Maria. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for answering my call. What I wanted to suggest was, but I already do it anyway, I was doing it before... before all this happened, turn off your TV, turn off your internet, and listen to Vermont Public Radio. You'll be fully satisfied.
Maria?
I'm serious.
I love it. Sounds great.
I never used to listen to it, but now I do. And you just cover such a wide variety of things.
I want to make perfectly clear to everybody, we did not pay Maria to say any of this. Calling from Benson, this was all you, right, Maria?
Yes, it was.
That is delightful. Go ahead.
I don't miss my TV, and I don't miss the internet because I never used it. I use my encyclopedias.
Wow. Yeah. You know, it's funny. We got a call, I think, a couple of weeks ago, Bob, from somebody who had delighted in pulling out encyclopedias for the first time in a long time and realizing what a wealth of knowledge is right there in a good old-fashioned book. That is great. Thank you, Maria.
And, you know, Mitch, I've read different articles in the last week or two about folks deciding not to sort of go home and then deal with coronavirus news all night long.
Yeah,
that they need a break from it. And I think when we had an earlier call in the program from Joe in Burlington talking about being able to regenerate and just take things a little slow and say, okay, I'm going to go day to day, you know, and I've actually found that for myself to be helpful. We don't know what's going to happen in the next week with the coronavirus. You know, it's hard to have any projections. And so just saying, here's where I am today, and these are the circumstances that I'm dealing with today. I think for me, it's been a helpful approach.
Bob, I think that's such a great point. You know, you and I work in the news business. We are in the news business for a reason. Obviously, we need to cover every bit of news for our, you know, it's a public service for Vermonters that we bring them the news. But you can get steeped too much in it, and it can become a little overwhelming. And I think sometimes we have to remind ourselves, you, me, everyone, that it's okay to step away from that for a little while and find something that brings you a little bit of solace. If I could, Bob, I'd like to read this note we got from Hillary, who writes in and says, I was laid off from work on March 20th. I've been isolating ever since. I live alone and go food shopping each week or so. The thing is, I'm more in touch with my family and friends than ever before, coworkers too. So far, I'm learning to play guitar. I'm writing more, reading more, and a lot of personal dance parties. Weekly FaceTime with my granddaughter is a joy. Coloring Easter eggs and the ensuing egg hunt was awesome. Our whole family gathered on Easter via Zoom, and she says, "I'm with you, Bob," parenthetically. And my nephew was married Saturday via Zoom, so with all this forced time alone, I'm in the hopes that we will obtain a new appreciation for each other. Hillary, we really appreciate that note.
You know, and I was thinking of along those lines, Mitch, when the governor was asked today at his press briefing, you know, what about large gatherings over the course of the summer? And I got the impression from Commissioner Levine that we're not going to see any large concerts taking place in Vermont this summer, you know, where we have 5, 10, 15,000 people together. It was interesting. He talked about how movie theaters might adjust to it. So somebody sits at least 6 feet away from somebody else and you could have some social distancing. And then they were asked about, what about weddings? I mean, think of the people who have been planning their weddings for this spring and this summer and are looking at the possibility of having a Zoom wedding. You know, that's a tough one to swallow.
It is. And I think about folks, high school graduating seniors and college seniors and all those ceremonies that people are missing out on. It is a tough reality. Zoom can only do so much. There is something about a wedding, especially. It is such a social event, the dancing and just the hugging and all of that that goes into it. I don't know that you can replace that, via a Zoom program or something like that. It's difficult.
It is. Let's talk to Tony, who's calling from Barrie. Hi, Tony. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. So, my friends and I, we miss going to movies. And so what we're doing now is we're picking a movie. We're all going to watch it, and we schedule a Zoom call the following day. And we all sit down with our wine and cheese, and we talk about our review of the movie. So it's like going to the movies, because I don't know about you, but after the movies, we always have coffee or drinks afterwards to talk about the movie. But this is one way of getting back into watching movies with our friends.
What a great idea.
Across the country.
Tony, I'm a huge movie fan. I miss going to the movies. And one of the things that I used to do was it never bothered me to go to the movies alone. I always thought, why do you have to go to the movies with someone? You're not supposed to talk during the movie. But talking after the movie, it's one of the things I always love doing. And I would always say to people, did you see this movie? I really want to talk about it. You know, this I remember watching what was the one with Michael Keaton? Of course, I'm blanking on it now. Was it Birdman from a few years back? Oh, my gosh, that movie just absolutely loved it. And I wanted to talk to everybody about it. Now you're scheduling this. It's a brilliant idea. How's it gone so far?
It's going well. And like you said, you know, my son would sit there and call me and say, "Dad, have you gone to see Joker yet?" I go, "No, I can't talk to you." Click, you hang up. So now we're all forced to schedule. And now we're forced to watch the movie, and then we schedule to regroup. So it's fun, and, you know, tonight's movie is a ghost story.
Is that the name of the movie, or is it a go ahead.
That's the name of the movie.
Okay,
that's
never heard of that one.
Movie.
Okay.
It was featured last year. Take a look at it. Google it. It looks like it's a really great movie. And if you want to watch it, send us an email and we'll schedule to be on Zoom tomorrow.
Thanks, Tony. That sounds great.
Hey, what a great, I appreciate what you guys are doing.
Well, we appreciate your phone call very much so.
Very much, Tony. Thanks for sharing that great idea with us. Let's talk to Stephen in Brattleboro. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob and Mitch. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I wanted to just share that when I look around right now, I see a lot of people getting into the dirt and gardening as something that they feel like gives them a sense of empowerment, gives them a sense of security. And in a way, it's kind of a way of growing hope. You know, it's something within our control that, I think we should have it as a bigger story and a narrative that people can participate in, you know, statewide. What if everybody had a sunflower growing in their front yard, right? Just as a symbol of growing hope. There was a great op-ed in the Vermont Digger by Roger Albee, the former Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Vermont, about victory gardens from World War II, and why can't we have Corona health gardens? And I really like that idea. So I wanted to highlight that. I know this weekend I'm going to be helping make some raised beds and getting my hands in the soil, and I find it incredibly therapeutic. And at a time when we're really thinking hard about where our food comes from, it gives us a sense of control and a reminder that we know how to do things here in Vermont, and we can look to each other to be interdependent. So thanks for what you're doing. These messages mean a lot to everybody, and I'll take the rest of my time off the air. Thank you.
Well, Stephen, I just had a quick question for you. I know for a lot of folks, normally at this time of year, they're starting their gardens, their seeds, and it's a time of renewal for them. And as you mentioned, a chance of growing hope. And that's just under normal circumstances, not in the middle of a pandemic. And I wonder if now it just takes on a lot more meaning for those reasons. Stephen, are you still with us?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think people are being reminded that they know how to do a lot for themselves. And even though we may not receive the help from outside that we wish for, we can band together and make it happen in our own way.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I would add, too, that, you know, on the weekends you can tune into VPR, and when Mary English is on the air, she's often speaking with Charlie Nardozzi, who has some wonderful gardening tips. Of course, he's the master. Myself, I don't really have the green thumb, but honestly, what Stephen is talking about is making me want to get out there and do that. I love that idea of sort of a statewide, you know, we can do this, we can grow things here. And just the symbolism of it, Bob, you know, spring and rebirth and renewing, that sense of, you know, things coming back. I think that's a really great thing to have.
And the whole idea of comparing it to the victory gardens of World War II. And yeah. Stephen was saying, you know, what would happen if everybody put a sunflower in their front yard? And that would just be a symbol that everyone would see every day about resilience. I think that's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, me too.
Let's talk to Bob, who's calling from Fairfax. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing, Bob, Mitch?
Doing well. How you doing, Bob?
Well, I'm hanging in there like everybody else.
Good.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you to the governor who's stepping up to the plate and saying that this is a responsibility of a leader, and he is doing the right thing, and I'm really happy to have a good leader in our state. And, yeah, I think we're all kind of grateful for the words we just heard from him. I'd also like to comment on the disappearing handshake and, the phenomenon that, I think it was Mitch pointed out that, Vermonters will nod or wave when they pass each other.
The little two-fingered thing on the steering wheel. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You recognize another soul out in the planet, and you want to say hello. So I'd like to call that the Green Mountain Salute, and we could practice that a lot. We could wave at each other from about 6 feet away and say, hey, how you doing?
Pretty I love
much
it.
Serves the same purpose.
You know, I love that, Bob. I really do, because I moved here many, many years ago from Boston. And much as I still love that city and the Red Sox and all that, you know, not the friendliest place in the world. And if you were to just walk down the street in Boston and, you know, just give a wave to somebody that you've never seen before, they'd probably think that you were, you know, going to do something bad to them. But it's not the case here in Vermont. At least not – it hasn't been my experience. My experience has been wonderful. And folks that I have never seen before will wave to me, give me the two-fingered Vermont salute from the steering wheel or what have you. And I've just grown to really appreciate that, especially now.
And I've noticed, Mitch, as well, just walking through the streets of Montpelier, and almost everybody has a mask on, that people, even they're keeping at least 6 feet between them, they wave, or you can hear them say hello. There's a recognition of people with other people, which is something new that I haven't really experienced that much before. And it's sort of like we understand that we're in a difficult situation and we're all in this together.
And, you know, Bob, you can tell even through a face mask, people smile with their eyes. And you can see it. You can see somebody it's just that little bit. You notice it even through the mask. So, you know, we do have to all protect ourselves, and we really have to be smart about this. But it doesn't mean we can't smile, we can't nod, we can't give a friendly wave.
So we're almost out of time, Mitch. But let me ask you, are you getting used to wearing a mask?
You know, I'm getting there. My wife and daughter have actually been making some. They've been doing a lot of sewing, and they made me a special tie-dyed mask because they know of my love for the Grateful Dead, of course. And I'm looking at one right now. I'm actually going to put it on when I leave the studio and go home today. And I'm getting a little used to it. It's not something I want to be doing all the time, but yeah, I'm getting a little bit used to it. How about you?
I'm slowly getting used to it. My daughter made me a mask out of one of my old T-shirts, and I thought, and I was very grateful for that. And I was thinking some of your old Red Sox shirts might have been used for that purpose.
I'm a little bit superstitious about cutting one of those up. I know. I'm still hoping when all this returns and we get baseball back, the Red Sox will win the World Series again. I just, you know, I don't know about cutting up the logo or anything, but that's not a bad idea.
Mitch, we've gotten some great ideas from our listeners today. It's great to feel that positive energy out there.
No question.
Mitch, many, many thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, Bob, so much.
Today's show was directed by James Stewart. Our production team includes managing producer Lydia Brown and producers Matthew Smith and Emily Aiken. VPR's digital producers are Elodie Reed and Abigail Giles. I'm Bob Kinzel. Be kind, be strong, and be safe. Have a great weekend.